1, 2, 3, and yes, welcome everybody. This is the Vegan Body Revolution Show. My name is Thomas Tadlock from veganbodyrevolution.com, and I want to thank you for tuning in. Welcome to part two of this very special podcast. I'm chatting with Robert Cheek, two-time natural vegan bodybuilder, best-selling author of the book Vegan Bodybuilding and Fitness. In this episode, Robert continues to share with you the rest of his nutrition program that he used to help him gain over 50 pounds of solid muscle that led him to win two natural bodybuilding competitions. So without further ado, here's Robert Cheek. All right, so there's your breakfast, and then after breakfast, what, about 2 to 3 hours later, you'd have another snack?
Yeah, exactly. And that would be, like I said, carry almonds around, carry carrots, celery, cucumbers, again, snack bars, could be another nutritional drink or just water, something like that, something pretty light, maybe a few hundred calories, but you're getting protein, fats from the nuts, and primarily carbohydrates from vegetables or maybe fruits. I was a big fan of carrying fruit with me everywhere I went, eat bananas every few hours. Or apples, wow. Or oranges, grapes, something like that.
Oh, God, you weren't doing another protein shake or eating something like tofu for that second meal. You're getting your protein from just the almonds that you were carrying with you, the nuts that you had in your bag or your hand?
Yeah, and maybe a snack bar, something like that.
That's pretty cool. You mentioned Cliff Bar, yeah? So that was one that you did, a vegan Cliff Bar. Okay, great. And then meal three, would that be lunchtime for you?
Yeah, exactly, and that's rice, beans, potatoes, burritos, tofu, these types of things. They would not all at once. I would pick, and I would even add. Back then, I would have potatoes, and I would put peanut butter on my potatoes, and that's what I would do. Or I would have peanuts, actual peanuts, that would go in with rice dishes that I would make. I would make rice. Dump in a bunch of peanuts, you get a little bit of salt, you get a peanut flavor with it, it actually adds to the dish, maybe some rice, some beans, add some nuts to it, extra calories, extra protein, extra fat, and that worked well. Or I would do maybe a couple burritos. I was big on things like lentil soups back then, rice and bean dishes, some greens with that perhaps, and have a little bit of salad, and have that kind of a bigger meal like breakfast, a bigger meal, but totally different types of foods. Just we're in a different mood for lunchtime. We want hot food. We want heavy food. And that's another thing people wonder about. Well, how can I get full on a vegan diet? Is there really something heavy that can replace or mimic this meat feeling? And really, there's a lot of foods that can. Potatoes, sweet potatoes, lentils, beans, brown rice, quinoa, yams. These are really heavy by weight. Many times heavy by calories, heavy by nutritional gain, and they're great foods, tofu, tempeh, et cetera, great foods to have during lunchtime, especially when you're on a mission to build muscle.
Well, so, you know, what's so fascinating about this is besides your breakfast, where you actually have a protein shake, for your snack meal and meal three, the traditional information that's being taught is that you need a massive amount of protein. So the non-vegans would usually, at this point, if they're not doing a protein shake with every one of these meals, they're throwing in for lunchtime a giant hunk of meat, usually a big old 6-ounce chicken breast with maybe rice and beans and some veggies. But what I'm not seeing any traditional type of protein sources here. I'm seeing your rice, beans, or potatoes, which are your primary carbohydrates, or what are thought of as primary carbohydrate sources. Then you've got your greens, or you say if you have a salad. But then there's all these nuts. There's all these nuts that you're throwing in there too, which, you know, everything I've been taught is nuts are a fat source, not so much a protein source. But are you using your nuts as your protein?
Yeah, absolutely. They're a great protein source. Sure, they have fat in them too. They're probably more well known for that, but they're certainly a great protein source too. Nuts, seeds, and there's something that can be added to anything. Salad,
now, were you Are you
rice,
putting a lot of
oatmeal.
these in? Because, you know, like here's the thing. You know, most people believe that that if you got to build a lot of muscle, you got to put down an insane amount of protein, an insane amount of protein. And I'm just looking at the nuts, and for how much protein you get out of the nuts per like cup, you know, it's a fraction of what you get with, let's say, a hunk of non-vegan meat. Or like a hunk of, or like a scoop of whey protein or something like that. So, are you getting less protein overall than the meat eaters, or are you just eating so many freaking nuts that you're when you combine it all up, you are actually getting the same amount that, let's say, a meat eater would get?
Well, it depends, really. I mean, I don't think I was even eating that many nuts. You know, I mentioned almonds sometimes and adding peanuts into rice or something like that, but that was about it as far as nut intake or and seed intake combined back then. But I certainly got my share of protein from lots of other things: protein in beans, protein in greens, protein in the shakes, in the bars, protein in really everything that I was eating. Sure, there's larger amounts in some foods, like beans and nuts, versus in grains or in potatoes and yams and things like that. But I was still getting absolutely sufficient quantity of them. In fact, there was a period when I was eating 300 grams of protein a day for quite a few years. It's a number that's a lot higher than what I do now, but I had no problem doing that on a vegan diet, and it was all those things combined. It was the tofu, it
Wow.
was the tempeh, it was the beans and everything else. So I think back then protein was my focus, and really it was. I mean, I focused more on protein than total calories back then, and really these days I don't worry about protein quite so much anymore. I just don't think it's as important as we think it is, and I think we get too much of it, really, especially
Do
from
you think you
well.
would have been able to gain 16 pounds of muscle mass in 6 weeks? If could you Do you think you could have done it on a lot less protein than you were eating?
I think I probably still could have done it based on an equal number of total calories, even if my macronutrient percentage changed. Maybe I had more carbohydrates and less protein, or more balanced overall. Maybe, I don't know, a little bit higher fat, a little lower protein, carbohydrates being absolutely the number one highest percentage. I think I probably could have done it. I don't know for sure, because I guess I didn't try it back then. I
Well, it's
was still
something.
focused on
I guess it's
protein.
something to look into a little later. Let's focus on what you actually did, because what I want to do is, you know, you were able to do it, and I know that we've got some listeners that just are just chomping at the bit to finally build their first few pounds of muscle and know what that feels like. I mean, I can only imagine for some of our listeners that are listening to this that have tried so many things to build muscle, they weren't able to get anywhere. And what I know that they're dying to know is, what exactly did you eat? Because maybe if they copied exactly what you ate, that they'd be able to build up to 16 pounds in 6 weeks too. I mean, it must have been an amazing rush for you. You must have been so strong and watching your body change so much and seeing muscles pop out of your limbs, right? In
Well,
such a
yeah,
short period of
it was
time.
fun. It was a good time, and it was also a challenge, and it was a chore, really, to eat that much, to eat as much as I had to eat back then. And you know, I was eating all these tofu hot dogs and things like that. I was just getting calories from wherever I could get calories from.
Well, let's
So
keep
it took
going with
a
that. So you mentioned so you had for so lunch would be a giant plate of beans and nuts, or potatoes and peanut butter, or rice and beans plus a salad, right? That would be a typical lunch for you back then.
Yeah, it wasn't probably the most creative or tasty thing. I'm sure I could have had some better options, but as a 19-year-old going to school, that's kind of what I opted for.
I love it. I love it, man. It obviously worked, right? So after your lunch, is meal four. Was that a snack meal similar to the one that you had between breakfast and lunch?
Yep, exactly. It was
So, yeah,
more fruit,
combination.
snack bar, protein bar, water. And maybe, and again, maybe some vegetables that I
Hey, what
would carry
protein
with
bar?
me.
What vegan protein bar did you use back then?
Well, I call it protein bar. Cliff Bar was the only thing available back then, really.
Oh, okay. So when you say protein bar, you're talking about the Cliff Bar, right? Because I remember,
Yeah.
because like, so you're talking about the original old school Cliff Bar that was just designed for, for endurance. You know, like that's what hikers would take on them, on with them when they
Yeah,
go
the
for these
little
long
kind
hikes.
of rectangle,
Yeah.
in the wrapper. Yeah,
And they're
that was really all that was
delicious.
available then. Like I said, I would have about seven throughout the day. So
Holy cow.
during my snacks, that's what I would go for, one or two of those, and a little bit of fruit, a little bit of water, and maybe some almonds, maybe some carrots, something
Okay,
like that.
well, that's making sense. So I'm changing what I wrote down here. So about two Cliff Bars at a time for each of these snacks. Okay, great. So then you'd have that snack just like you did on meal two, and then meal five, I'm guessing, was your dinner.
Yeah, I guess it would have been. I had dinner and sometimes post-workout meal around that same time. So I would either work out in the afternoon or now that I'm thinking back, I think I mostly worked out at 5 in the morning, which is why I think breakfast was so big, because it was a post-workout and breakfast. But
Got it.
yeah, meal five would most likely be dinner, and that was tofu, tempeh, probably some salad greens. It could have been more of the same burritos. It could have been some pasta with peanut butter on it.
Pasta and peanut butter. I'm just saying that I think my 3-year-old son Solomon, he would love for me to have him try something like that. That just seems right up his alley. Pasta and
Yeah,
peanut butter.
that's
I love it, man. That's awesome. So you a combination of what would you eat, an entire block of tofu at a time?
Yeah, sure. Either block of tofu or, I was really active in school, and so I would save time when I could. And so what I would actually do was buy already prepared tofu, already flavored, already sandwich sliced, that kind of thing. But just eat it, without the bread, but just eat blocks of that already flavored, already that kind of thing. Save a lot of time. That way, I might have that with potatoes, or I would even sprinkle that on something like pasta, because pasta was I realized was a couple hundred calories per serving, and I could eat an entire bag maybe, and that's what I used to bulk up. So really kind of a, I don't know, unconventional approach maybe. You don't think of those things, pasta and rice and maybe potatoes, as bulking foods, but I made sure the quantity was high enough that it did lead to those kind of results. And now I switch, now I focus on whole foods, a much different approach than before, lower protein intake, much more variety and diversity and color and flavor and style of food. But certainly there was an approach back then that worked. It was consuming foods in excess, but I was training enough to burn calories and also create that appetite
So in
and
hindsight, you realize that there are some switches you could have made that would have been better, but nonetheless, this still worked. So after dinner, what, a couple hours later, would you repeat the same type of snack meal that you had previously, or did you have something a little
Yeah.
different for your last meal?
No, it would really be the same kind of thing. It would be, yeah, I might have a little bit of fruit because I like fruit as my favorite thing to consume. And I might do a protein drink before bed, which would only be, I think, probably the two in the whole day, because I would have one right after workout and at breakfast in the morning, and then maybe one at nighttime, and then I would munch on my Cliff Bars until I couldn't eat anymore, and then I'd go to bed.
Wow. Oh man. So let's back up a little bit. So you worked out 5 in the morning, and the first meal you told me about, that oatmeal, potato, protein shake, fruit snack bar, that was your after workout, your post workout meal, plus your breakfast,
It
right?
was, yeah, after workout slash breakfast, it was the same, one and the same.
Sure. Okay. And then did you have anything before you worked out?
No, I would just wake up, brush my teeth, drink some water, and go straight to the
Oh
gym.
dude, I love this.
And
This is This is awesome. Awesome. You know, I can't tell you, Robert, this is so refreshing to hear this because I can't tell you the number of, especially trainers, that I know that if I were to say that, hey, you know what? I know someone who's thinking about using a program like this. I'm going to have them work out before they eat anything. I'm going to have them eat a huge meal right before bed and to tell them, and that's kind of their plan to become a champion bodybuilder. I think most trainers would just literally laugh at me. Would just be like, "Are you kidding me? You'll never get results that way." But you did. You did.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different ways to achieve the end result that a lot of people are looking for. And that was just the approach that I used. It worked with my school schedule. It worked with my life schedule. Working out first thing in the morning, it's early. It's sometimes it's tough to have that game face on. But if you're focused on something, if you have a real strong desire to accomplish something, then you can easily do that. And you don't need to eat necessarily before a workout, and a lot of people work out first thing in the morning. It's a great way to burn fat as well. In fact, sometimes you have to call upon fat as fuel that early in the morning. Maybe not be any carbohydrates left to burn, and so you get to burn a little bit of fat, go hit the weights hard, and then eat a whole bunch of food and repair damaged muscle tissue that was torn up in the gym, and then all those calories, protein, carbs, and fats will help rebuild and regrow, and then all of a sudden you're gaining weight, you're gaining strength, you're able to push more mass, build more weight to your own frame, and it worked just fine for me.
Well, I'm going to read this back to you, and you tell me if you think this would be a nutrition strategy that could help other people who are 150 pounds trying to gain an extra 10 or more pounds of muscle over 6 weeks. Get up in the morning, work out. After your workout, have a big old bowl of oatmeal or potatoes, whichever you choose, plus a protein shake with your favorite vegan protein. Have some fruit. Maybe a Clif Bar on top of that, and don't forget to throw in some peanut butter and some raw veggies. Then, 2 to 3 hours later, meal two, if you throw down two Clif Bars, maybe some extra veggies if you've got them on hand, another piece of fruit or two, and a nice big handful of almonds, you're on your way. Then, for lunchtime, nice big plate of either rice and peanuts, or maybe beans and nuts, or maybe even potatoes and peanut butter. Add a salad to it, you're good to go. Then 2 to 3 hours after that, a little before dinner snack, throw down another two Clif Bars, some extra veggies, some nuts, maybe a piece of fruit too if you've got it. Dinner, put down a big old block of tofu if you can. Throw some tempeh on top of a salad, or if you don't have that on you, a big plate of pasta with some peanut butter on it. And then before bed, mow down another two Clif Bars, some fruit, and maybe one last protein shake. Would that help somebody build muscle?
I'm pretty sure it would. It's a lot of food, but that's really about what I did. I don't think, and it certainly doesn't have to be a Clif Bar. That was available back then. That just,
Sure.
that's just what I had access to back then. But and some of those lunch meals, I would, I'd have more than just rice and peanuts, or there would be some other things with it. It'd be rice and peanuts plus some tofu, or it would be rice and beans and greens, or two burritos, or something like that. But yeah, the concept is about the same. In hindsight, would I change some things? Absolutely. I would focus more on whole foods, less obsession with overall protein and total calories. I would focus more on the holistic nutrition, getting more variety of all types of whole foods. I would eat less processed foods. Probably wouldn't stuff myself quite as full as when I was younger, looking back.
Well, can they?
But would that approach work for somebody to pack on a lot of muscle quickly? Sure, especially
Well,
with that consistency in the gym and eating every 2 to 3 hours, which I think was absolutely paramount back then.
what will if when people go and they check out your book, they go to Amazon.com, look up your name, find your book. What kind of information will they find in there about nutrition for building muscle mass? Will it have your old routines in there and your old nutrition schedules?
It does, actually. The book gave me an opportunity and platform to talk about what I did back then, because it was pretty unique. I mean, that's, I guess, why you're talking to me about it. I mean, packing on 30 pounds in a year and going from literally a skinny kid to competitive bodybuilder and having that kind of physique within a year is kind of different. And a lot of people are looking for that kind of thing, especially on a vegan diet. So, yes, what I have in there are 50 different meal programs. So 5-0, there are 50 of them.
Wow.
From mass building to fat burning to maintenance to pre-workout, high protein. I even have some raw food ones, some common allergen-free meal programs, whole food-based meal programs without any processed foods or supplements. And so I cover all those different things, including, you know what, Thomas, you know how I talked about recording all my workouts and my data?
Yeah.
I used to do that for years, and I actually photocopied some of those pages that showed exactly what I ate and exactly what my workout was, and I photocopied those and put those right into the book, and they're labeled at you know, April something, year 2000, or May of 2003, whatever these years were. I put a couple of those samples in there to show that, okay, maybe the diet wasn't perfect back then, but here's what the quantity was like, and it was pretty intense, and here's what it really was like to train with this kind of consistency, and I put that in there. I also have an entire chapter about supplementation, about branched-chain amino acids, protein, drinks, meal replacements, bars, essential fats, what all these things are, what they mean, how they can be used, do you need them, do you not need them, etc. And I have a variety of workouts, everything from workouts you can do in a gym, workouts you can do without any gym equipment, and the top 12 exercises that yield the best results, talking about specifically compound, multi-joint, barbell, dumbbell, and in some cases body weight, like pull-up exercises. Mm. So I picked what I thought over my 10 years of bodybuilding were the best exercises to really build muscle. I talked about some of the aspects of bodybuilding. Obviously, the book is designed for really anybody interested in building their body on a plant-based diet, but I also want to throw in some really specifics for people who are interested in competing in bodybuilding. So what does the diet look like a couple days before or the day of competition, and answering some of the questions about how training changes, even how to handle some of the tanning stuff and posing and getting ready to actually compete in the sport of bodybuilding. I covered that, and of course I covered a chapter about veganism, why veganism is important, what it meant to me, how I got into it, and also something that I think is kind of interesting, and a lot of people, especially now in 2012, are looking to do with all these vegan athletes out there. I have a chapter dedicated to how to market yourself to get sponsored, how to get sponsored by companies, how to use your success in vegan bodybuilding and fitness to promote the movement, to promote veganism, to promote your own brand, to promote your own projects. Because as you can imagine, doing this, I got sponsored by a number of companies like Vega. I got access to all these supplements, clothing, weightlifting gloves.
Oh, buddy.
Opportunities to travel.
We're going to have to do another call on just that alone, because I know we got a lot of trainers out there, and we got a lot of aspiring vegan athletes that want to promote this message and get it out there as most effectively as possible. I would love to do another call with you in the future on helping other vegan athletes, trainers, bodybuilder, physique people to be able to get that message out and get themselves sponsored and just really promote this message. Would you be willing to do that sometime in the future?
Yeah, sure. I've got a lot of opinions on it. I just wrote a magazine article yesterday, actually, and I've got all kinds of things I'm constantly working on around that idea of building brand, building recognition of a specific lifestyle. Networking with others, all that kind of stuff, collaborating, working on projects, filming movies, books.
So check it out. Check it out, listeners. Those of you listening on this, you want to go to veganbodybuilding.com. Go there. You click on the shop. You'll find Robert Cheek's book right there, where he's got all of his nutrition plans that he's had over the years, so he doesn't have to recall through memory. He's got his workout programs in there as well. And then, as well as those of you who really want to help promote this movement, what the whole vegan body revolution is all about, you want to learn how to do that and do that effectively, get that book. It's all in there. Robert, I own your book, so I can definitely vouch for what you're saying, because everything that you just told me was definitely in that book. I want everybody else to know the same thing too. It's one of the best must-have references for vegan fitness and bodybuilding. You got to have it. Okay, we're going to cut it right there for now. Thanks so much for listening. Listen, was that amazing or what? You definitely do not want to miss the next episode of this three-part series. It's going to be the last part of this interview, where Robert shares his workout program. We go into supplements and we go into his workout program in the next and final installment of this interview. I hope you'd enjoyed it so far. And make sure you pick up your free muscle building guide on a vegan diet over at veganbodyrevolution.com. I thank you so much for listening. This is Thomas Tadlock, and I will catch you on the next podcast.